The prayer team out there, there's on the average, there was about 20 every night of us out there praying, and I was blown away at the prayer warriors we have at this church. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you remember a few years ago, and maybe it was only in my neighborhood, but we used to say when we're watching a sporting event or something like Olympics, and the guy would get the goal, and we'd go, "That's a bad dude or a bad woman." I don't know, maybe that just happened in my neighborhood, but there are some bad warriors for Christ in this church. And, oh, my goodness, it's awesome. One particular story that is in my heart, like all the warriors, the prayer team, I'm sure they could come up here and say a half a dozen stories that would make you tear up. But one particular for me was this young lady came up, walking up, very young. She looked very young. And she had probably a two-year-old daughter, beautiful two-year-old daughter sitting on her shoulder. And after I greeted her and asked for prayer requests, we prayed. And after that, I opened up and said, "Do you know the meaning of Christmas?" And to my shock, she said, "No, I don't." And so I shared with her. And at the same time, her daughter was anxious. You know, she didn't want to sit there anymore, and she didn't want to hear me talk. But as we were talking, and I was fumbling, it was totally the Spirit moving, because she wanted to leave, and the little girl wanted to leave, and I was fumbling, you know, because all the moving around. And I just finally said, "Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And she said, "Yes." I was just set back, blown away. So many times that happened over the last three nights. They were just so ready. The Spirit was so moving. So I'm going to let Stacy share now.
So it was, I don't even have words to describe, you know, what went on that parking lot. Sorry. From when they walked in the front door to the play, to the craft table, to the bounce houses. I mean, these people were loved, and you can see it everywhere. Sorry, I knew I was going to lose it. But when they came to the prayer tent, they were there, and you guys did an awesome job telling them, "There's another gift. Go to the red tent. Go to the red tent." Because we'd have people be like, "We were told to come here. We're not done yet, but we were told to come here." We're like, "Well, you can finish, and you can come on back, but this is the way you go on out." So they were excited to see what was at that prayer tent, so they were gladly wanted to receive the gift of John. It was so awesome to give that to them and tell them that, read this, and this is the story of Jesus. And then you could ask them, "Do you know Jesus?" And many people said yes. Many people said no. And then also there was a lot of people that came to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but there was also people that said no. And I want us to, as a church, remember those people. The seeds were planted big time, and those need to be watered. We saw 50 to 60 people that got saved, but we don't know what God's going to do with those 50 to 60 people. I pray that 1,000 people get saved from this event, just from those people and the watering that's going to continue. And many, many people asked when services were, and they wanted to come back to church. So I hope that Danielle's going to be bugging Pastor Bill really bad, because she's going to need a lot more help in kids' church. Because so many people were like, "Can you have my kids come to church?" So one special story to me was last night a family came in. It was a mom and her three beautiful young girls, and she couldn't wipe the smile off of her face of how grateful she was for everything that the Lord had done for her that night. And I asked her, too, "Did you know the true meaning of Christmas?" And she said yes. And I asked if she was saved, and she said yes. Actually, my daughter, me and my older daughter, we got saved together. And I looked then at her younger daughters, and I said, "Do you know Jesus?" And the middle one said, "No, I don't know Jesus." And she was probably about 8 or 9, and I said, would you like to pray with me? And I said the Savior's prayer, and she repeated every word right after me and had this giant smile on her face that she said, "Jesus loves me," after she was finished. And we all opened our eyes after the prayer, and we looked across at younger sister, And she was standing there like this. And we were like, what's the matter? She goes, I want Jesus. I want to say the prayer too. So she comes running over to me. She sits on my knee. And in this cute little voice, she says the salvation prayer also. It was just amazing gift that God gave all of us to be able to share his love and to be his hands and to be his feet. And to be able to go on a mission trip in our own parking lot was an amazing, amazing gift. And I am just so grateful. And I feel like this has been a true Christmas for each and every one of us. And I am so grateful to you for everybody that served and the time of fellowship in the parking lot. And the bonds that were made also are unmeasurable. So I just want to thank all of you and continue, please, to be praying for them.
I don't know how I'm going to follow that up because Stacy and Dan have said it all. It was a three-day event that was just so, we just received so many blessings. I mean, just to see all those happy faces and all of my brothers and sisters that were so full of love to receive all of our special guests. It was certainly, we were all in one agreement as servants that we were there to share the feet, the arms, and most importantly, the heart of Jesus, to love on all those beautiful families. And you're right, we saw people asking for prayer for finances, for their home, for their health, for their children, grandmothers who expressed that they were tired, but they had to do what they had to do for their grandbabies, and they wanted prayer for strength and courage, and it was just awesome. What a blessed experience. And Pastor, when you heard from God about the whirlwind at the beginning of the year, you were not wrong at all. I am so glad that you followed through with what he asked of you. We prayed from everything for them, and they were anxious to know about the church. And they were just, and they kept thanking us. We thank them, and then they thank us. And we thank them, and they thank us. And it was just wonderful. I have something that I kept in my mind was a grandmother and a grandson that came by, and he had this big old box of cake, and I'd tell him that I was going to follow all of them with the cakes home and have some with them, and he just smiled, and I said, is this your mom? And he just smiled, and he said, no, this is my grandma and my mom. And I said, oh, you are so blessed. And then she said she was blessed too. I said, will you take care of her? Because I know she's taking care of you. And he just smiled and gave us this great big hug, and he walked out. I don't know what else I can add other than I would not have missed this for the world. And it was just a blessing beyond what we can express with words. Thank you so much to all of you who made it possible.
Hello. Ooh. That was a little close. Hi. So my job was to be at the tables, you know, where they were lining up to come into the building. And I just kept thinking all three nights, it's the Lord just put the right people there. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the people that were there helping me. Eric, Rembach, Josh Gonzalez, Jesse, and Kendall Brown. And it was just like we all had a job, and it was like the perfect fit for that job. It's like, man, Jesse kept that line like perfect. It's like, how did he do that? You know, he had that. And then Eric and I, it's like the kindness, yet the firmness. I'm like, man, Eric is really good at this. And then, you know, it's like you see Josh, just that presence behind me. I'm like, this is like, what am I doing here? These guys are doing everything. This is great. I'm just smiling and waving. But I was just blown away how it's so of the Lord to put the right people in each different place. I walk by the tents and I go like, Like Dan said, there's a lot of bad dudes in there. I looked at the line of them, like, these are all, you know, cleanup hitters and this is home run hitters. All of them. I'm like, I'm out of here. I told somebody, I'm out. You're good. But you know, I was the first, one of the first faces they got to see. And I saw people come, a few people in tears when they just showed up to the table. I saw people cold, you know, standoffish. I saw happy people, very happy, a lot of smiles. I saw people that were confused. And it just didn't hit me until last night. Remember, I'm really slow. I'm like, wow, I was the first face they saw. And Eric, you know, like contact. And it's so, what a privilege, you know, to get to see firsthand. Everybody coming through. If anything, it's reminded me how blessed we are, as personally and as a church. I was telling my wife, it's very simple to get in the car, go to Target, and buy our kids a pair of shoes by the grace of God, right? But some people were just static that they got a new pair of shoes. I was like, wow. How about a car? How about the family that rode the bus here, right? And she told me, the mom's like, my baby fell asleep on the way here on the bus. You know, the stories go on, but I'm going to highlight two. And you know, my stories are really long, Pastor Bill. I'll let you speak for 2 minutes after I'm done. Okay. Thursday, for the first night, the line, you know, got slower. So I wanted to walk around and see what it was like. And I don't know why, but I saw... under the tent where the play was being played, you know, the Christmas story. There's a lady there, young lady, and I just went and said hi, and she started talking and tell me everything. She's searching. She's like, is this is there like a priest in there? And this, I'm like, well, there's a pastor. Okay. And what do you guys do? I'm like, well, we read the Bible, we sing. Okay. Is there a baptismal in there? And I'm like, I'm lost here. I'm like, well, we have baptism services. She was Catholic. And she starts telling me her story, how a year ago, her now one-year-old, so when he was just born, was taken by the CPS for reasons that, you know, beyond us. And how she's searching. She's like, I'm just searching. I'm searching. And I'm thinking of witchcraft because I want my daughter back. And I was like, Lord, help me here. I said, you know, if you do that, it's just going to be darker and harder. And I point blank asked, I'm like, do you have Jesus? And this is, mind you, this is where the play is going. So the people at the play go like, what is Raul doing? And she's like, yes, I have Jesus. I'm like, well, you have everything you need. You just need to tap into it. And I felt to ask her, can I pray for you? And she's like, yeah, please. So I prayed and it was one of those prayers that when you pray for people, you know, okay, something is happening here. And I'm like, I just don't know what it is. So when we were done praying, she said, quote, I will hold on to this with a smile on her face. And I was like, wow. Young, I'm talking maybe 19, 20 years old. Second story. It was Friday, and we had a lady that came, and she wasn't signed up, but then she signed up on her phone. And while she's doing this, trying to sign up so she can get in and all that, she had a stroller and a maybe 9-10-year-old girl, severely handicapped, was on that stroller. And that girl was hitting her head against my table. And I was like, and it was to the mom was normal. So I immediately picked up, okay, something's, you know, she's hurting. And long story short, she wasn't on the list, so I just go and talk to Sandra. When in doubt, talk to Sandra, right? So got Sandra. I ran the play by Sandra, and Sandra's like, she's here. She's on my phone. She just signed up. Let's do this. And I said, man, come in. She's like, thank you. And we you know, and I was like, I like that. It's like that story, you know, when the Gentile woman says, you know, help my daughter. And Jesus is like, hey, not fitting to give the bread, take it from the kids and give it to the dogs. Hey, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. And it's like Jesus went off the script, right? He made a difference, but she also came through, right? The lady. And I was like, wow, that's, I just love that audible, you know, football fans. That was an audible. Omaha, yeah, coming. Peyton Manning. Okay, so last one. As I walked through the tent, I talked to Josh. Josh told me this is holy ground. And if I could think of anything that this place was for the last 3 days in a very tangible way, it was holy ground. I said, Lord, put a massive angel on each driveway of this place and protect it. And I think we can testify that there was protection, divine protection in this place, and just amazing. So I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Now, I wanted them to keep going, didn't you? Yes. Let's thank the Lord one more time, shall we? God is good. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you. Let's go one more time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you now for the word. We thank you for the remaining service. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done and that you're going to do. We celebrate your incredible love and goodness and grace and power. Thank you for allowing us to be your whirlwind in 2019. We ask it, we believe that now in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, a very short study. And I want to share things with you. Just like Dan and Stacy and Sarah and Pastor Raul were doing as well. And, you know, the incredible word that God gave us in the beginning of the year. You know, the whirlwind is coming. The harvest is right. Prepare. And I kept telling you it's going to be a great adventure. And you know what? It was a great adventure. Amen. Golly, you know, about 1,000 moms and grandmothers and children, mainly children, they just flooded this place, man. And it was so wonderful to do that, see that. And, you know, not only did they eat, but you did too. We consumed over 1,400 hot dogs, man. I mean, and I know, I saw some of the Calvary servants. I know what you were doing, but no, you should have been eating. But listen, 3 nights of candy cane Christmas, all for one purpose. Everything was for one reason, and that was to love and to win people to Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, 60 or whatever it was, 50, 60, maybe 70, I want to see the totals. I thank God. Not that we're looking for numbers. One soul is worth it. Amen? But you know what? They're saved. They're saved. They're not going to hell. Amen? You know, they escaped hell, and they're out from underneath the devil. And here's what's wonderful. You know, I can only say basically what everybody else was just saying. I watched you, and then they, the moms, the people who came, they watched you. And here's what they saw. They saw you demonstrate God's love in action. You did what's, you know what? I'm so proud of you. Because you did what I asked you to do, which was only what God asked us to do. Amen? You know what you did? You loved your neighbor. The one neighbor means whoever is near you, anyone in the world. You loved your neighbor as yourself. I watched it. They watched it. And I am so thankful for it. And you know, I say to myself, I wrote down, this is fresh off the press, man, because I haven't had any, never mind. Yeah, this just was printed out. Let's put it like that. I said, you are a great church. And the reason I said that is because those that came, they were not welcomed by a religious people. Amen. They were welcomed by a real people full of the love of Jesus Christ. And you demonstrated that love that God has poured out into your heart to the people who came. Yes, I said whatever sermon it was, I think it was last Sunday, I do not remember at this point in my life, but I said this, I pray that those who come say this, come see a church, come see a real church that cares, come see a church that truly loved me and not looked down upon me, and that's exactly what you did. We have learned much. It's been a huge learning curve for all that we've done. There is absolutely no way we could have handled 1,000 mothers. Do you know that? No way. Oh, my gosh. That means we would have had 3,000 people here minimum. And we were overwhelmed the first night, remember? So we're learning a lot. We made notes on don't do this next year, don't whatever, you understand. So it's been a wonderful time of learning. But here's what I know, and I know you know it as well. He is our God, and he is the faithful God. Amen? The Bible tells us in Lamentations 3:22, it says, though the Lord's mercies are not consumed because of his compassions, they fail not. Here it comes. They're new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. What a great God we serve. You know, loved one, listen, how many times has our Father in heaven, our Savior seated next to him, and the Holy Spirit of God who has empowered us, how many times have they ever been unfaithful? Never. God has never been unfaithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, and I'll be in Luke 15 in a moment. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. He called you into fellowship. That word means koinonia, into intimacy, into having his sharing his life together. Think about that. And you know what happened, loved one? All these things that happened these last 3 days, we fellowship with the Lord, and you know how? We fulfilled his plans. We fulfilled his purposes as the Holy Spirit of God ministered through us unto them. Amen? That's exactly what you did. Fellowship is experiencing Jesus. And that's exactly what happened. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's never wasted. Everything that you did, and knowing how tired you must be this morning, because I didn't want to get out of bed, you understand? Oh, listen, you did it. You never wasted anything at all. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he, meaning God, who calls you, is faithful, who will also do it, and he did it. Amen. The Lord is so good. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God's word in 2019, a whirlwind is coming. The harvest is ripe. Prepare. Nearly a solid year. I tell you what, since a summer, I don't think we've taken one day off. In the last 3 weeks, we worked 7 days a week right here, making sure that we're trying to get everything together and so forth. And you know what's wonderful is that Jesus, look what he did. We didn't have to go out there. He brought his harvest to us, right unto our very doorstep. And not only that, our faithful God, you know what he did too? I've already told you, he paid for the entire candy cane Christmas, the entire, all that we've done. We had, as far as I know, not one dime was taken out of the general budget at Calvary Chapel. Not everything was paid. Everything remains paid. And you know why? God is faithful. Where God guides, he always provides. Amen? And that is a true word. So God was faithful. God is faithful. But you were faithful. The Bible tells us, the psalmist has said in Psalm 37:3, I believe it is, the psalmist says, trust in the Lord. That's what we did. He says, and do good. Boy, that we definitely did that. Dwell in the land, it says, and feed on his faithfulness. Boy, these last 3 nights, that's what's happened. The Bible tells us that God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. He who sows to the Spirit, everlasting life. And he says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of God. You did not give up. You labored and labored and labored and labored, and it was to the point of exhaustion. And then we sowed for the last 3 nights. And what did Jesus do? Remember what I said? He's going to turn this campus into one huge lake, and then he's going to stock it with people. All we have to do is win those who come to Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's exactly what you did. And I know that right now, I know it with all my heart, like it says in Hebrews 13, 16, that God is well pleased. It says, do not forget to do good. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Just not pleased. He is well pleased with all that's happened. Another thing that has occurred that that Dan, Stacy, Sarah, all of them, Raul, mentioned, is that something happened to us in these three nights. And also, as we work to put everything together, when we think about rewards, I don't have time to tell you what I believe the things that God is going to be doing for you, and what, because we obeyed the Lord, amen? But, and so many people have mentioned this same thing to me, and it's like they said, Bill, we are now stronger. We're not only are we stronger, we're closer to each other. We have reconnected. Amen. And not only that, we're more united than we have ever been because we obeyed God. We stepped out in faith. We did what he told us to do. You know, the God of this age, we're stronger and he is now weaker. His territory, many have been taken. Amen. And that just excites me, I'll tell you. You know, the captives have been set free, many of them. Not only that, they're no longer blinded. They've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness all the way over to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen? They have been literally set free. Why? Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, told us that the harvest is ripe. Now, with all that being said, I want you to look at Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Very short study, so just bear with me now. It says, and then all the tax collectors and the what? The sinners, they drew near to Jesus. And look why? To hear him. Tax collectors, I don't even need to go into this. You know that back then, they were the most hated people in all of Jerusalem. Not only that, they couldn't go into the synagogue. They were ripping people off, giving money to Caesar, and taking a cut for themselves. And the Jews believed that a tax collector couldn't even go to heaven, okay? And then there are the sinners that came to hear Jesus. The sinners, meaning those that are lost in sin, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, the lawless ones. They don't know any better because they're dead. They're not spiritually alive. And it says here, and the Pharisees and scribes, they complained, saying, this man welcomes or receives sinners and even eats with them. So in Jesus' day, if you shared a lunch or a dinner, that means you accepted those who were sitting at your table or reclining around on the floor together. So Jesus, he doesn't receive just anyone, does he? No, there's only one kind of people that Jesus receives, sinners. We were sinners, amen? We're saved by grace. Man, thank God that he did that. And so he receives sinners. But see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they couldn't find any fault with our Lord Jesus Christ. So what did they do? Well, they turned to those who were drawing near to the Lord to hear his word. You know what? It's amazing that Jesus attracted and still does sinners. But the Pharisees, the religious people, they repelled sinners. They were the ones that were supposed to be helping people. You know? No. And what they did the most hated when they drew near, it was because Jesus loved them. Now listen, that's exactly what you did. You loved people. You loved everyone. I watched you. The courtesy, the love, and all the things that you did. I am so thankful and so proud of you. He says, and so then he spake a parable unto them, and he's saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, he does not leave the 99 and go into the wilderness and go after the one which is lost? And look now, he searches until he finds it. Now we know that the Lord is the good shepherd. He goes out and leaves the 99, goes out and finds the one, and so forth. The Bible tells us that Jesus in John 10:11, he is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Ezekiel 4:34-11 says, for those, saith the Lord God, he says, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep. I'll seek them out. Verse 5. And when Jesus, or the parable here, when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders. And what is he doing? Rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, or literally, I am full of joy, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The value of one person. You know, the Bible tells us that the Son of Man, Jesus himself, he said in what Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek that which is lost. Amen. To save that which is lost. God desires no one to be lost. He wants every person saved. But whenever heaven started rejoicing, you know why it was rejoicing over that one sinner? It was because God was rejoicing over that one sinner. All of heaven followed his lead. When he broke out in joy, all of heaven did the same. Listen, there was joy in heaven, just like Dan said a moment ago when he quoted that scripture, over the people who repented and came to the Lord Jesus Christ on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Think about joy that was happening. We didn't even know it. Matter of fact, I thought on Thursday night or Friday night, because we slowed down, I didn't know what was happening anywhere, you know? But see, God was still working, wasn't he? Yes. So that night, man, that joy was because what we did, what you did. The Bible tells us in Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That word conduct means a citizen, if you will. We're citizens of heaven. We should act like citizens of heaven. And so that whether I come to see you or absent, Paul says, he says that you stand fast with one spirit. You stand fast with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's the good news. That's what you did. All of us, we stood as one man. Amen? One man. Oh, I was so thankful when I saw that. We stood in one spirit, meaning the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and we were all striving together, or as one translation says, we were fighting side by side like one man. And that's what you did. The moment, the very moment that the single moms, the grandparents, the children, like has already been stated, the moment they entered the parking lot. Did you notice, let me back up, did you notice there was a special, You could feel the peace in the campus. You could feel the Spirit just like he's hovering. Remember in Genesis 1 how the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep? It was almost like, well, I know it was. He was hovering over us. All that was happening. And we were striving together. So the moment that single moms and grandparents, children, they entered the parking lot, you know what they were met by? One Spirit, one mind, one heart, one team, and you loved them from the parking lot to every station all the way to the red tent and as they left. That's exactly what you did. That's a perfect example of Ephesians 4:16, where the body of Christ, where it says, each one does his share. Amen? That's what you did. And you know, I wrote this down this morning, and let me just read it because I'm tired. Is that all right? You know, so that way I don't mess up and go off into another sermon I know nothing of. Now, I said each one does its share. That's what you did. Each of us worked toward one thing, to win the lost, to love them. Now, here's what was so wonderful about each one, all the church, everybody working together. I said they carried home the Christmas bags you packed. They carried home the presents in the Christmas bag that you bought. The children put on new shoes. The children brought on warm coats. They ate hot dogs that you cooked. They drank the hot chocolate that you made. They won cakes in the cakewalk that you baked and brought. Man, they're spending Walmart cards right now. Loved one, listen, early this morning, and I was there in my prayer time, and I just happened to see that, you know, when you get mail, you know, you've been notified. And I noticed that it said Love Never Fails on it. And so I was curious. And this is a letter, an email I got. Listen to it. It says, hello, I just wanted to give all of your congregation my most heartfelt gratitude for the blessings you gave to both my son and I through your Christmas program. I slipped and fell on November 1st and broke my kneecap. I had surgery followed by 3 weeks in a rehabilitation hospital, which used all the savings that I had. I had no idea how I was going to provide shoes for my son, let alone even Christmas. But through your beautiful blessing, he received both and a new jacket. And a new jacket. He says, to say that I am blessed, or for her to say, rather, to say that I am blessed is an understatement. I know I can never repay your generosity, but I hope to one day be able to donate to your church as you have done for me. Thank you once again. I am forever grateful. Amen. See, I mean, I'm sorry, she sent that last night, because I remember now, my mind of the cheese is gone, believe me. Completely off the cracker this morning. But I read that last night, and I started crying. The event just ended. The outreach just ended, and she had enough. She cared about what you did. You know, she says, I can never repay you. Remember when I preached several weeks ago or whenever it was, and I said, Jesus said in Luke's gospel, I think it's chapter 14, he says, when you have a dinner, and he says, you have a feast, he said, don't call your buddies. Don't call your friends and your relatives. Not that you should never do that, but don't do that. He said, listen, Jesus said, though, you know what? He said, but when you give a feast, would you invite the poor and the lame can never pay you back? Jesus said, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Now listen, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. In that future day, at the Bema seat of Christ, like I told you, Candy Cane Lane Christmas, having 10 koans. If she loses one, to search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends or neighbors together saying, oh, rejoice with me. I have found the peace which I lost. Jesus says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joy, yes. Whose joy? God? It's our God, our Father, and Jesus, his Son. Amen. That rejoicing. Now listen, I want to, in my prayer time, I want to share with you on Thursday. I think it was Thursday. What's today, son? Prayer time, and sometimes I feel like the Lord wants me to write something, and I want to read it to you instead of trying to remember it this morning. And then I put this down. I said, years, or even a 10-year-old girl, or maybe a grandmother, are to Jesus Christ at this church. I stood out to get the big cross and, oh, the fountain and all the Christmas lights, and the huge camp greeted me. They acted like they were really happy that I came. That night was my first time ever in a bounce house. Three hot dogs. They gave my mother a big white shoes. I was out there over by the trash dump. I was talking to a gentleman. All of a sudden, I saw this 10-year-old boy, maybe 8. I had a big bag, white bag, you know, with the bow that you packed. Open that up. And he grabbed that bag, and she grabbed that bag. And man, and you know what he did? He went over and sat down by the curb, and he put them on, and he just started running all around the building. And if I could continue, it says, I wrote down, I said, in the Christmas. He says, I watched a play about Jesus. I sat on it, looked real. The angels were beautiful. I'll never forget their kindness, but gift of all, as my mom and I walked free, amen. A tent called free. And I will never forget it. Of the world. He gave. Thank God. His only begotten Son. Whoever would believe in him will not perish. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. This is for Jesus said, for whom the Son sets free is free. Did it. You prepared, You worked, you obeyed, you gave, you prayed, you loved your neighbor as yourself. And the harvest, his harvest, people saved into the kingdom, and you brought them in. You removed by Jesus Christ their spiritual poverty. Your works will follow you and this church to the throne beginning. 2020, the year of but for now, starting today, here's what we're going to do the rest of the year. We are going to rest. Is that okay? In other words, year, a Christmas rest, because I need it, and I know you do too. Father, we praise you. We give you thanks for all the incredible, unbelievable things that you have done. Called free. It was there that so many, not knowing the closer that they got to that tent, and old things would pass away, and all things would become new. We give you praise and glory and incredible honor for you in this place called Calvary Chapel. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we all say, God is so good. If you're visiting us with visiting the very first time, I'm going to be...